The first readings now for a while are from Paul, but they're from these letters called the pastoral letters. There's two to Timothy and one to Titus. We'll treat of them, discuss them a bit during the week. They're most remarkable for the very different language that's used. People, oh, it can't be from Paul. Well, I don't know why Paul can't write in more than one style. But also, he could have, and probably did, he was an old man, in jail probably by this time. And he said, look, this is what I want said, and entrusted it to a disciple to say. We don't know that. But I did want to talk about the gospel. The Lord is really amazing. The things he's saying in the first part are things that every wise man says. You know, you tell somebody by how they act, not by what they say. Oh, I love the poor. I would take care of the poor. You don't put even a dime to help out. Well, that's just wrong. In other words, fruit, the world is the word is used here. You know, a good tree does not bear rotten fruit. And a rotten tree doesn't bear good fruit. Every tree is known by its fruit. Now, you know, you can find many wise men saying exactly the same thing. In fact, as I was reading it, I was thinking about that. These are picturesque. They're beautifully said. They're striking. You don't forget them. But I could find you aphorisms in Aeschylus or many places. The difference is twofold. One, the one who's saying this is the wisdom of God. All the other fellows were sharing in his reality. Now he's come among us in the flesh and he's telling us himself, you see. It doesn't do any good to try to act like a good person when you're not. It won't work. But a person, you tell who they are by the way they live. Now, as I was thinking about that, you know, and how Jesus sort of gathers this wisdom, he invests it with his own authority in the second part we haven't gotten to yet. I thought of a text in St. Thomas. It's not too early, right, to read St. Thomas? You're all awake. It's in his commentary on the prologue. Although there are many participated truths, this is Aquinas, there is just one absolute truth, which is truth by its very essence, that is, the divine act of being. And by this truth, all words are words. Every word we speak participates in the mystery of the divine word. That's my comment. Similarly, there is one absolute wisdom elevated above all things. That is the divine wisdom, by participating in which all wise persons are wise. Further, there is one absolute word, by participation in which all persons having a word are called speakers. You speak every word we speak. See? In other words, all these good people who came up with these good pieces of advice, some of the ancient philosophers and so forth, they all shared in the reality of the word. Every thought we think, the word of God, it says, John tells us, you see, he was the light. And that light is the light who illumines every man coming into the world. All our thinking is a participation in the Word. That's very beautiful, isn't it? But what does that do to our dignity? What do we do with this thinking power? Well, you see, it's a share in the divine Word. What generosity. Now the Word comes Himself and has a body and a human mind and a human voice, and He teaches us. This gospel we have today, as you probably know, is the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount, which we've been hearing parts of for days. We had a great one yesterday, right? Brother, let me take that speck out of your eye. You got a plank in your own. Why don't you worry about that first? You don't forget that. You see, that's a good teacher. That's divine wisdom incarnate. Now, this is what the Lord says now. This is divine wisdom speaking. And if our hearts are open, we should recognize it, because that wisdom dwells in us. He's the light enlightening every man coming into the world. There's a correspondence. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, but not do what I command? We're great, like, you know, right behind you, Jesus, all the way. How far behind? How God Himself is appealing to us through our human common sense. But He's also saying, what I say has divine, irrevocable authority. Well, what did you say? Go on back. Go back two chapters in Luke and start reading. You know, forgive. The measure you measure out is the measure we measure out to you. All those, just read them. Okay. I will show you what someone is like who comes to me, listens to my words, and acts on them. Okay, you ready? You know what he's going to say, because you've heard it 100 times. But remember, this is the conclusion to this whole collection of teaching that Matthew and Luke have put together. Okay. That one is like a man building a house who dug deeply. Now you can tell he's a Hellenist. In Palestine, you don't dig deeply. You don't have to. You look for that ledge of shale, which is all over the place. And you just clean that out a couple of feet, and you've got 4 feet of stone to build your house on. But in the Hellenistic world, you've got to go dig and make a foundation. And so, okay, it's not a big point. Dug deeply and laid the foundations on a rock. When the flood came, now this is a flood, not a storm like in Matthew, the river burst against that house. The river just overflowed its banks, banged up against the house, but could not shake it, because it had been well built. He says, look, if you listen to me, when things are tough, you will stand firm. If you're practicing what I preach, then when the game comes, you've been practicing well, you'll play well. If you haven't been putting these words into practice and the storm hits, masalami, go in peace, it's over. So he says, that's the way I said it. But the one who listens and does not act is like a person who built a house on the ground without a foundation. When the river burst against it, it collapsed at once and was completely destroyed. Now, that's the eternal wisdom telling us. You want to know how to live in a way that you will be with me forever? I left all these words for you. My own example. On the cross, I forgave those who were killing me. I told you how to live. Well, tell me again. Okay, turn 2 pages back and start. We take these things as, consoling pieces of information. When was the last time you forgave everybody? When was the last time you didn't turn your back on somebody, a poor man asking you for stuff? Huh? Read it. Don't turn your back on the poor, he says. Or I'll turn my back on you. There's authority here suffused with incredible love and wisdom. Every wise thing, by no matter whom said, is a participation in the Word of God, Jesus Christ. So, you can go on back and read what he's got to say. You know, it's all right here. The one from yesterday, can a blind person guide a blind person? Will not both fall into a pit? No disciple is superior to his teacher. But when fully trained, every disciple will be like his teacher. St. Thomas makes a lot of that when he's talking about teaching. Blessed are the poor, for the kingdom of God is yours. Blessed are you who are now hungry, like all the people in Sudan. You will be satisfied. Huh? Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude and insult you and denounce your name as evil on the account of the Son of Man, because you belong to me. Oh, I feel sorry for you. That's not what he said, is it? Rejoice! Leap for joy on that day. Behold, your reward will be great in heaven. For their ancestors treated the prophets in the same way. That's Jesus talking. That's the eternal wisdom of God. So the next time somebody looks at you the wrong way, rejoice. You're getting to be like the prophets. Is that hard? Yeah, it's hard. I just felt this, our Lord is so intelligible. The only person speaking who was never at a loss for words. He always said exactly what he wanted to say. And it is the Word of God. So let's take a minute and think. Where do I know I'm supposed to be doing something I'm not doing? Forgiving somebody? Changing some attitude? Whatever. Let's take a minute and so we build on rock.